Jim, I can't remember the last time I sang that song.
You can't say that.
That's true.
I don't know. My memory's not too good.
Our second reading is a continuation of Acts chapter 10, verses 9 through 23. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by all four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. Then a voice said to him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Peter went down and said to the men, "I'm the one you were looking for. Why have you come?" The men replied, "We have come from Cornelius, the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to have you come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say." Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests.
Thank you, Jim. Well, we continue on in the book of Acts here. Am I on here?
No.
Okay. I am?
Yeah.
All right. I've changed your review here. So we continue on in the book of Acts, and I'm not.
I think you're a battery stuff. So if you
Hello. Yes, ma'am. I hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me now? You're doing some batteries? Even though it's green. It's green still.
I muted. Roger didn't want to hear the message this morning. Oh, dear. All right, here we go. We've got the mic on so people can hear me on Facebook as well. We love you folks, too, who aren't here this morning. We're continuing the book of Acts. We're in chapter 10 now. We've been doing this since the first part of the year, and it takes a while to get to the book of Acts. But boy, there's some great stories here. And here's the beginning of one this morning. We won't get through the whole story, but we'll get through part of it. How many of you have ever gone on a trip? You think you have everything you need in your suitcase and whatever else you bring with you, and then you realize something's missing and I don't know what it is. I went to junior high camp one time and I forgot to put underwear. I was over at Michigami, had to go all the way to Marquette to go get some underwear so I could make sure I had them for the week at camp. Sometimes we think we have what we need, and then things just don't work right. It doesn't work the way we want it to work. Just yesterday, I was sanding something with a little rotary sander, and I was having problems getting it to work. I plugged it in, tried to turn it on, it wouldn't work. I took the thing out and grabbed another cord, think it was the cord, and plugged it in, and no, it didn't work. Lisa grabbed it and brought it inside and plugged it inside, and it worked, and we tried it outside again and thought, oh dear. So finally we just took the cord inside the house and plugged it in there instead of the one outside of the house. But what I didn't understand was something else was plugged into that outlet and it was working. So I called my brother. He said, well, sometimes these outlets, when they have a heavy load, if it's something that draws a lot more, they won't work when the outlets are getting old. But if they have a really, really light load, they'll go ahead and work. Because I was confused. I know the thing works because it works with the little light that we had up there. Well, anyway, not everything works the way you want it to work. It doesn't always work out the way you want it to work out. There's always something missing, something forgotten, or something unknown. And what is it? And I think we're dealing with two people here this morning in the Scriptures. Cornelius on the one hand and Peter on the other hand. They're both missing something. And we're going to find out a little bit this morning and more next week about what they are missing. Cornelius, a Roman soldier, a centurion. He's got a very good resume here because he's a God-fearer. He's benevolent. He's one who's very prayerful. He is respected by the Jewish people as well as his own. There where he's at, he's a very well-respected man. But he had some kind of a vision. And in this vision, he was discovering that maybe something was missing. I mean, do you honestly think that God would leave someone like Cornelius hanging? I don't think so. He was missing something, and in this vision, he was told how he was going to find out this something that he was missing. Cornelius, when God spoke, he listened. He was listening to him. Still not knowing for sure exactly what was missing. He knew everything he knew, but something just wasn't quite right. Almost like that suitcase where you thought you'd packed everything, but something's missing. And for Cornelius, something was missing. And he was listening to God, and God was going to tell him what was missing. In those first four verses, we hear about Cornelius. One day about 3 p.m, he had a vision. Distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? He asked, and the angel said, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a reminder, a remembrance before God. Now go where I tell you to go. Cornelius, you're missing something. That's what he was saying. Cornelius, you're missing something. And this Peter, this guy you're going to meet, verses 5 through 8 there, he's going to tell you what you're missing. You know, your heart is right, but you need to understand you need something more. I think what we're hearing here is that something more is, even as the God-fearers of the Old Testament were obedient to God, and they were doing the sacrifices to Him, and they were doing all the things that they were required by the law to do, God was going to show them one day there was something more. There was going to be the perfect Lamb of God, and we celebrate that in communion this morning, the perfect Lamb of God who was going to come, and He was once for all going to take care of all of that that ailed them, that wasn't really satisfied by the giving of a lamb, because He was the Lamb of God. He was going to take away the sin of the world. Peter was going to tell Cornelius this. Even though Cornelius' heart was right, he needed to understand there's something more, because he, like all of us, are stained by sin. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Even someone who was advertised as godly as he was, Cornelius. Your good works alone, as noble as they are, they're not enough. They're not enough. Folks, your good works are not enough. My good works are not enough. And God was steering him in the direction he needed to go. And I believe God does steer us in the direction we need to go when we are honestly seeking Him, as Cornelius was. But then there was someone else on the other side of this equation. There was Cornelius over here that was missing something, and Peter was also missing something. So Peter was, God was speaking to Peter, but God was speaking to Cornelius, and He said to Peter, you're missing something too. When this whole vision of this large sheet with the clean and unclean animals that were on that sheet, and He's telling Peter, a Jew, now everything is clean. Go kill and eat. It's like, whoa, God, I'm a Jew, and I know a lot of these things on the sheep here are not clean animals. I'm not to go kill and eat these. Something must be wrong here. But it happens a second time, and then it happens a third time. Isn't that interesting with Peter? Everything's got to happen to him three times. The cock crowing, do you love me? And now three more times here, everything happens to Peter in threes because he doesn't get it after the first time. It's kind of like me. I probably have to do 5 or 6 or 10 or 20 or whatever before I get it. But finally, I get it. And here was Peter. You're missing something too. God is doing a new thing. God has done a new thing through Jesus Christ our Lord. And he's starting to speak to Peter. Now, Paul already understood this. Paul's already reaching out to some of the Gentiles. And Peter was still kind of hung up on the Jews a bit. This large sheet and the Jewish cleanliness laws. Now he says everything is clean, really indicating, I think, primarily the issue here was not so much the clean and unclean animals as much as it was God is reaching out to the Gentiles too. They too were accepted. And don't let all of the rigmarole get in the way. Don't let all the religious rules get in the way. And we do that in the Church of Jesus Christ sometimes, don't we? We make people think they got to go through 13 hoops before they get to the... No. I say, no matter how messed up you are out there, come in and let God start working on your life. Because he's working on all of our lives. And we might be at various places along the way. But God takes us where we're at and transforms us into who he wants us to be. Amen. Peter was missing something too. He was told three times, get up, kill and eat. It shook his understanding at both a literal and figurative level. He was like, wow, this is a new thing for me. Can you imagine if God was telling us to do something different in the church today than the way we've always done it before? You know, you've heard that phrase in the church, haven't you? We've never done it that way before. And it's hard to teach old dogs new tricks. And sometimes we're that way in the church. And here Peter, the old dog, was learning a new trick. God has come to save the world. And even though he chose the people of Israel to share this good news, the good news was to be shared so that everybody could take benefit of it. Everyone who would say yes to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Peter was struggling with this. I can't do that, Lord. Verse 14. Surely not, Lord. I've never eaten anything impure or unclean. I've never done that. What does this really mean? We're going to learn next week what this really meant, but I'll give you a little hint as we get there. Peter was missing something and he found out that God was wanting to reach out to all of humanity. There was no nation barrier. There was no race barrier. God was reaching out to the whole world. And Peter was now understanding, beginning to understand that. They still struggled with it in the church, didn't they? We'll learn about that too in the Council of Jerusalem. Well, you know, should we make the Gentiles do the things that the Jews are doing because now that they're a part of our thing, should we be doing that or not? And so they struggle with, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? God's doing a new thing. All I can say to this, in light of this, and I say in light of us in the Church of Jesus Christ, is God won't leave us hanging for long. When we are really desiring him, when we're really looking to him, when we really want to do what God wants us to do, and we're in his word, God won't leave us hanging for long. He'll give us direction. He'll let us know what he wants from us if we'll just listen. Cornelius was listening. Peter, although at first he was objecting to it, Peter was listening, and you and I have to listen to what the Lord is wanting to do through us today. And don't let, and I don't mean this, I mean, the church is a marvelous thing, but don't let the establishment get in the way. Don't let the way we do things get in the way of what God wants you to do. Because sometimes he's doing a new thing. It's still the word of God, and that never changes. But he could do new things in the midst of the good old word of God. that never changes. What's he asking us to do? God won't leave us hanging. What do you do in the world today and the mess that we have going on here? What are we supposed to do? We keep seeking God and God will give us the answers. The challenge and the answers will be forthcoming. Peter was going to discover a new truth. Cornelius was discovering a new truth. And they didn't let religion stand in the way. Because it's all about a relationship. I've got a shirt that says it's not a religion. It's a relationship. And that's true. Sometimes we hang on religion and forget about relationship. What are we missing? Like the suitcase in my underwear. What are we missing? Cornelius realized a noble righteousness is not enough. He needed Jesus. And he was introduced to Jesus. A noble righteousness is not enough. Try as hard as you may, folks. You're not righteous enough and you never will be. He is. He is. We're not. And he discovered that. And realized that Jesus was the answer. He covered the gap. He atoned for his sin. He discovered that. Peter also discovered that the establishment religion sometimes limits our reach. Think about this again. The establishment religion sometimes limits our reach. But God says, reach out to all. We like people to come into the churches we have as clones. They got to be like us. They got to worship like us. They got to act like us. They got to dress like us. They got to do everything like us. That's what the people really want in the church. Oh, you're kind of like us. We want you. Churches get really uncomfortable with someone who's not like us, who's a little bit different, who comes from the wild side of life, perhaps, because, well, we grew up in the church, and I had Christian parents, and all that sort of stuff, and I know how to behave here, and I know when to say amen, and I know when to stand and sit, I know when to raise my hand. Oh, those conservative Methodists and Presbyterians you got there, they don't even know how to do that. They're just kind of like, you know, I know how to do all this stuff because I've been a Christian for so many years, and you know, we let the establishment get in the way of what God's really doing. You know? I can envision the church universal standing before God in heaven, worshiping Him in a similar kind of way that I experienced when I went to one of probably a dozen Promise Keepers conferences many, many years ago. And it was this. There were some of those people that were so full of energy, they had to get out in the aisle and woo-woo it up when we were singing. There's others who were just constant amens out of the mouth. And there were those who were very reflective and very, it was more of a reserve, but they were all of them, I noticed, were worshiping God in their own way. Some of them were loud and some of them were quiet. Some couldn't even hush up when you're done. They had to keep going. But they were all worshiping God. And they, oh, wouldn't that be cool to have a church on earth that could worship in that way? We all worship a little bit differently, but we are who we are. And we all serve the same God. We all read the same Word of God and believe in its truth. Establishment sometimes gets in the way. I don't want the church and what we do to limit what God wants to do. I want us to reach out to all and not just those we prefer. You have preferred people you'd rather reach out to, don't you? I do too sometimes. But God says, reach out to all. Let's learn from Cornelius and Peter. They were both missing something. Maybe it's the same kind of thing we're missing. But God's going to give it to us. Amen? Let's pray. God, thank you for people like Cornelius, who loved you with all of his heart, but didn't realize yet he was missing that truth that had come and had left to be with you in heaven, Jesus. And he finally realized Jesus was the missing piece. And Peter, too, so stuck on the establishment that it didn't allow him to see what you saw. You saw a bigger picture. God, help us to see the big picture and not just our little corner over here. and realize you want to reach people of all nations and races. Help us to want to do the same thing. God, as we experience this morning communion, I pray, Lord, that we would understand it was Jesus, the unblemished Lamb of God, who did what He did for us. As we receive the gift of salvation, may we recognize there are others that want it as well, and we have the privilege of sharing it. In Jesus' precious name, amen.